Luxury 1, 2, and 3-bedroom private suites. Learn more at caravitavillage.com. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Some nice weather for a couple of days before rain returns this weekend. Today, sunshine, but cool, high 54. Clear, another freeze tonight, overnight low 31. Tomorrow, a little warmer, still dry, upper 50s. Then periods of rain at times, Saturday night, and Sunday. High temperatures in the 50s over the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A judge revoked the bond of the Auburn teen charged in the deaths of Rod and Paula Bramblett yesterday. Lee County District Attorney Brandon Hughes says 16-year-old Johnson Taylor requested to enter a rehab facility, and the judge granted that request. He will remain in jail until at least Monday and then go to the facility. There's a new police chief in Selma. The Selma City Council has named Lieutenant Kenta Fulford as the new police chief. Former police chief Spencer Collier retired earlier this year. And the Montgomery City Council voted unanimously to repeal an unenforced panhandling ordinance that had drawn heavy criticism. The measure would have required panhandlers to be jailed for 2 days for the first offense unless the sentence was suspended by a judge. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How do I feel? Awesome.
Like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Hundreds of thousands of people are discovering the relief of a fixed-rate debt consolidation loan through Avant.
I paid off all my credit cards, and now I just have one easy monthly payment with Avant. And I don't have to worry about the rates going up.
Avant offers you access to unsecured debt consolidation loans from $2,000 to $35,000.
When I saw Avant was accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I knew that was the company for me.
Do you know how good it feels to only worry about one monthly payment?
Experience the relief of a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 6363 when applying. Avant.com, code 6363. That's Avant.com, code 6363.
Alabama Home Mortgage is in the business of saving you money. Hey there, I'm Kim Williams along with Madeline Cannon. Figuring out new ways to stretch your mortgage dollar is what we do at Alabama Home Mortgage.
Here's the deal. Getting started is as simple as dialing 567-4223. In fact, why not try doing that right now?
You'll be amazed at the amount of cash you can save. So please, don't wait any longer. Call 567-4223 right now.
A retired Air Force pilot in Pike Road was experiencing some turbulence with his money, so he called Alabama Home Mortgage to see what we could do to help.
We lowered his monthly payment by $587, reduced his term by 5 whole years, and allowed him to skip 2 mortgage payments. With Alabama Home Mortgage as his co-pilot, he was able to soar to new financial heights.
Take advantage of today's low rates and reduce your monthly burden much sooner than you thought ever possible.
10 minutes is all it takes to find out how much you can save.
Let us show you the Alabama Home Mortgage difference.
Call 567-4223 or visit us at alahomemortgage.com to apply today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
A divided House of Representatives impeached President Trump Wednesday night. A trial will be held in the Senate in January.
A great day for the Constitution of the United States. A sad one. America.
An appeals court has struck down part of the Affordable Care Act. A 2-1 ruling came against the law's mandate that people buy insurance.
A teenager allegedly stole a plane and rammed it through a fence at the Fresno airport. No one was hurt.
The State Department issues a travel advisory for Mexico due to increasing drug violence, saying murders, kidnappings, carjackings, and robberies are widespread.
Uber has agreed to pay more than $4 million after it was found to have permitted a culture of sexual harassment and retaliation at its workplaces.
A dog got stuck in a tree while chasing a cat. California firefighters got the dog down okay. The cat got itself down.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
46 degrees outside. Summer is up 85 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great, my friend. Guess who we've got on the line?
Yes.
We've got the one and only Bradley Burns, congressman from 1st Congressional District, candidate for U.S. Senate. Bradley, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Dan, it's always good to be with you.
I want to tell you two fiery speeches that you did yesterday.
I was pretty fired up, Dan.
I know. Let me tell you, you were. I mean, people were texting me going, he's really fired up. And they were right.
Well, this stuff is crazy. I mean, what they did yesterday is nuts. And the fact that she won't even send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate, that's double nuts.
So, okay, well, let's get into the facts here. First of all, tell me what the tone is among Republicans, among Democrats, and how are you two groups getting together, getting along?
Well, we're not getting along real great right now. I think people understand the need to kind of get over a lot of the rhetoric from yesterday, but it's not easy to be in the same building with one another right now. But we have a very important piece of legislation on the floor this afternoon, the President's Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, and we'll get up there and we'll get it done because it's important for the country. But I think it's good for us to be gone for a couple of weeks for the holidays, to be honest with you. Get away from one another. I mean, we need to get away from one another.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's interesting. Let's talk about why, in your opinion, is Nancy not sending it over to the Senate?
Now, I know this sounds crazy, but this is the way they think. She thinks by holding up the articles that somehow she's going to leverage Mitch McConnell into agreeing to rules over there or a process over there that's more to her liking. Mitch McConnell doesn't care if he ever gets those articles over there. Every day he spends on impeachment is a day he's not confirming young conservative judges for the federal bench. He didn't care if they ever send those things over there. He's not agreeing to anything. He's going to either going to send it or they're not. Now, if anything other than that shows how big a sham this is, I don't know what it would be. I mean, clearly, if this was something that had to get done before Christmas, remember? Had to get it done before Christmas. Now they're holding up even sending them over to the Senate. I mean, what a joke.
Well, what on the other side that she didn't want this thing to go to the Senate? She wants to make an excuse where it didn't go any further because she's feeling the damage that's being done in the polls.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of damage has already been done. I don't think she can undo that, but I think she may do even more damage by not sending them over there. I mean, what does that mean? That has never happened before in the history of this country that the House has passed articles of impeachment and not send them over to the Senate. I think it would make her look like a bigger joke than she already is.
Now, you used to be on the Rules Committee. When you look at the rules for this, did you detect that there was something different, that they left that in there or put that in there, and the possibility of stopping things?
Well, I was never on the Rules Committee when we had an impeachment, so I don't know what I was expecting. But
okay.
They had the Rules Committee meeting was pretty long for the bill, for the articles we took up yesterday. And I'm told by the members of the Rules Committee that it was actually handled pretty well. The problem is they didn't make any amendments in order, so it was just a straight up or down vote. And they only left each side 3 hours apiece to debate. And I think something of this magnitude should have had more than 3 hours per side. And I think they should have allowed whatever amendments we wanted to offer. And if we couldn't pass them, we couldn't pass them. I had an amendment. I was the only person to offer an amendment. They weren't even going to consider that one. So, you know, I think the country got hurt in that.
In your appraisal, your political appraisal of this, if these members go back home and this thing is not sent over to the Senate, what do you think the members, particularly from the 31 key districts that Trump leads in or led in 2016, how do you think their constituents will respond to them?
I don't think it's going to be positive. It's already not positive, by the way. We know they're getting beat up pretty hard.
They are.
If they go home after they've walked the game plank, only to, you know, say, well, we're not going to send it over to the Senate, I mean, it makes them look truly silly, truly petty. And I just think it hurts them more politically. I mean, it's Pelosi's decision what she does with the articles. But I think she's making a mistake not to send them over to the Senate. And if she doesn't, then her folks will pay even more of a price.
Yeah, it really looks very juvenile first, but it also looks like they're very inept.
Well, they're at least inept. I mean, I can tell you that. I mean, I've been watching them run the floor of the House this year, and they are incompetent. It is amazing how poorly they run this place. That's one of the reasons why we're one of the most, you know, least productive Congress in recent memory.
I have never seen the Republicans this united, though. I mean, one thing, they brought all you guys together for sure.
We didn't lose a single vote yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, talking to people, everybody thought we might lose, and I talked to them personally. We weren't close to losing. I mean, it wasn't like it was a close call. So this is the first truly partisan impeachment in the history of the country. And she said, Pelosi said earlier this year, you can't do an impeachment if it's totally partisan. It has to be a very serious thing and gets, you know, bipartisan support. Well, she failed. She totally failed. And that's the, when I walked away yesterday, I said, okay, they won in a very technical sense, but in a larger sense, they lost because they couldn't peel a single one of us off of it.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers of this, it's and basically what happened is not that these 31 Democrats all of a sudden found their constitutional goodwill and love America, is they were going to get primaried and they were going to lose. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and the other thing about this for them is they've lost one of their members. Jeff Andrews is about to become a Republican after being a Democrat. So they've paid a price here. They've lost a vote. So, you know, I don't see how they can walk away from this thing and say, hey, we got a victory here. They really didn't.
What did you think of Mark Meadows saying that he is now going to run for re-election and may actually leave before his term?
I was very surprised at that. Mark and I are good friends. We talk regularly. I didn't see it coming, and I've talked to some other people who said that they didn't see it coming. They do have some rules about when they have to file, et cetera, for primaries in North Carolina, but Mark is a key member of the House, and we'll miss him. Now, there are rumors, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him about him yet, but there are rumors that he's going to go over and work at the White House. And if so, our loss would be the White House's gain because he would be a good person for them to have over there.
He would be. Is the only embargo on doing that is that he cannot deal directly with Congress?
You know, I don't know. I think he probably could because he's not actually lobbying if he's over there. You know, if you're a lobbyist out in the private sector, that's different. But I think going to work for a governmental agency, I don't think the same rules apply.
Let's go to USMCA. Are you satisfied with the bill as it's written now?
I do. I'm very satisfied.
Didn't
I talked to Ambassador Lighthouse the other night about it.
He is spectacular, by the way.
Pardon me?
He is spectacular.
He really is. And big friend of the state of Alabama. We talked at length about the effect on Alabama. He said, Bradley, when we get finished with this, there are going to be so many jobs coming into Alabama, y'all are going to start to sink into the ground. I said, well, we'll take them. Just keep sending them. Now, this is a big win for us. It's a big win for agriculture. It's a big win for our automotive sector in Alabama. It's a big win for people in Huntsville and Birmingham that have intellectual property that they're selling abroad. So we're going to be a big winner out of this, and I'm thrilled to be able to vote for it. Now, Pelosi's running around saying, oh, I got all these things. We were negotiating with Pelosi on about 1% of this deal, and we gave her about 10% of what she asked for. So this is a clear win for President Trump. She can try to make it sound different, but this is a clear win for him and something he'll be able to campaign on hard next year.
Yeah, I'm just amazed. I mean, she tries to take credit for everything that, you know, we made the changes that made it doable. And when she said it, I just didn't believe her. I'm glad you reinforced that.
Oh, no. I mean, I sat down and talked with the people from the House that were involved in the negotiations, and they were laughing. They said, you know, she came in with some demands, but it was all on the margin, not over the most important things in there. And there was some of the stuff that she asked for. We said, maybe we can work with her on that. So they did, and they got some changes that are to her liking and our liking, the president's liking. And she wants to act like she had some major impact on the deal, and she really did. So I'm going to vote for this and be happy to walk out of here this afternoon after this terrible vote yesterday, say, well, at least we did something good this week.
So when do you all go into recess? Is that Friday or is today the last day?
Today's the last day. So as soon as we vote on the treaty and I mean the trade agreement, and we've got one other bill behind it. As soon as we're done with those two bills, we are done until January. And as I say, I think it's good for us, good for the country, for us to get away from here for a while.
Hasta la vista, as they would say. It's sometimes you have, couples have to be apart so they can appreciate each other when they get back. And I think the Democrats will definitely get an earful.
Well, they already are. I mean, some of it's been public, but some of it I've heard directly that some of these guys and ladies are just getting pummeled on the phones and back in their district offices over their position. And some of them have actually said, I know this will probably cost me my seat. And, of course, we're over there saying, yes, it's going to cost you your seat. We already have credible candidates, more than credible candidates, in all of these races who are already raising good money and can raise a lot more money this week as a result of what these folks have done. So we can actually tick off exactly who we think we're going to be able to flip. And there's a lot of them, and there's a whole lot of them.
Is it more than 17?
Yes. Oh, yeah, our list is much more than 17. I think I saw it the other day as something like 40. Yeah. Now, we won't get all of those, but it's well more than 17.
Interesting. The number I've always seen is 45, and it looks like you could get maybe 20 to 30 of those as Republican, which would be a major defeat for Pelosi.
Well, I mean, she deserves it. I mean, this was a stupid political move on her part. I read the national news media and say, she's such a genius, and look how she pulled this off. No, I think it was dumb. I think it's going to hurt her moderates. I think she's going to lose the House over it. I think she guaranteed President Trump getting reelected. I think she guaranteed we'll hold our majority in the Senate. And here's what's going to happen. You watch. The day after the election, next November, they will go completely crazy. I mean, even crazier than they did 3 years ago. And they're going to say, where did this come from? How did this happen? Well, we've been telling you why it's going to happen. Right. People of America are looking at this and saying, this is crazy. We're not going to support this. So, but they can call her a genius all they want. I don't think they're going to be saying that the day after the election next November.
Yeah, that's just Mika and Joe in the morning do that. Tell me, on the impeachment manager, she said she's not going to release the names until McConnell tells them what's going to happen. Who do you think will be the impeachment managers for the Democrats, and how do you think they'll do?
Well, I think the lead manager will be Schiff.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think she's going to want to send Jerry Nadler over there as her lead manager. Nadler did a terrible job, very ineffective. But I think, I don't know if you noticed, but when it was time to present the Intelligence Committee's findings to the Judiciary Committee, Schiff didn't show up.
He did not show
lawyer.
Up. Right.
So I can't wait for Schiff to get over there and let some of these Republican senators start working him over, because he will not hold up so well. So I think Schiff will lead it. As to who else she'll have in there, Zoe Lofgren will probably be there too. Zoe's pretty smart, pretty capable on their side. And beyond that, I don't really know. I didn't think they had the strongest lineup in the Judiciary Committee, so my guess is that they'll pull more people off the Intel Committee for their managers.
What would you think if Eric Swalwell was on that group?
Well, I think Eric Swalwell may very well likely be in that group. I was talking to Eric the other day about it. He's very proud of himself, by the way, right
now. What is he like in person? Because something about him just drives us nuts in the show.
Well, I was early in my career here. He and I went on a Armed Services Committee trip together, and that's how I got to know him, because we were on the trip together. And so we've maintained friendly relations. But when I was part of the group that went in the room, and the room was the secret room that Schiff had in the basement of the Capitol, he got very ill with me, like very angry with me. And I've seen him since a couple of times, and I'm not apologizing one little bit for what I did, by the way. But I just told him, I said, Eric, you and I are just going to have a disagreement. Y'all should never have been in there. You should never have been doing what you were doing. He got pretty ill with me again the other day. I saw him yesterday and said, you and I are just going to have to figure out a way to get along after this, because, you don't approve of me and I don't approve of you right now. He's gotten a little too big for his britches. That's what my mother would say. He's gotten more than a little bit too big for his britches and needs to get his ego back in his head somehow.
Well, he's one of these that his confidence, he's overly confident and always wrong. He states things that are facts that are just not facts, and nobody ever calls him out on it.
Well, we do call him out on it. You just don't get a chance to see is when we do it, because the national news media doesn't show it. But, you know, Eric has, you know, ran for president, and was just totally unaware of how poorly received he was going to be, and showed, just, you know, really made a very poor showing as he ran for president. So I don't think Eric's got much of a political career ahead of him, other than as continuing to be a House member.
What did you think of the IG report, and do you think it'll ever make it over to the House for a for Horowitz to testify?
Well, I think it I think he should come testify. I was shocked at some of the stuff I saw in there. I knew it was going to be bad, but I had no idea it was going to be that bad. And it is, Dan, it is really bad. It is a very damning document for the FBI, very damning document for some of the folks over the Justice Department. And we need to completely clean house some of these people. And the procedures and processes over there are going to have to change. That FISA law is going to be up for reauthorization next spring. We're going to have a completely different approach to that. FISA court is now embarrassed and angry about what's been brought to light. And remember, this is all because they wanted to go after President Trump during the campaign in 2016. Well, guess who got hurt in all this? It wasn't President Trump. It was the FBI, the Justice Department, and unfortunately, the country.
Well, hopefully the truth will come out of that with the Durham investigation, and we'll get down and find out who the actual players were, because I'm convinced it's going, it goes up very, very, very high. So in, you think that FISA will be completely retooled but not taken out?
Yeah, I think we need a process like FISA. I think that we've all had our eyes opened about how easily that process could be perverted. And I think all of us are going to want to put in a lot more protections for people who may be subject to it. But the whole idea behind that law is to empower our intelligence community, our law enforcement community, to go after people from other countries who seek to do us harm. But there are some procedures in there that allow them to intercept information when people from America are interacting with those people. Well, this thing got totally misused and abused. And I'm a very strong defense hawk. I'm very strong on national security stuff. But as strong as I am, I look at this stuff and say, hey, if we don't do something dramatic, then we're going to have, if they'll do this to Donald Trump, they'll do this to anybody. And we cannot let that happen.
Speaking of defense, are you satisfied with the appropriations for defense that you just did?
I am. It's a little on the low side from my point of view. It's less than President asked for and less that we fought for as Republicans on the House Armed Services Committee. But we're dealing with Democrats, and, you know, the only way to get the number we wanted would have been to give them a lot higher domestic discretionary number. And I voted against it anyway because the domestic discretionary number is too high. But, you know, we got the best we could get in the deal for defense. I asked my staff to do the math. From 2017, that funding bill, to the 2020 funding bill, over that period of time, we've increased defense spending during the Trump era by 29%. That's pretty significant.
That is incredible.
That's pretty darn significant.
That really is amazing. There was just a ruling from the courts on Obamacare that looks like it could be something that would put the death knell into that. Where do you stand on, do you think we need to retool Obamacare, start over, scrap it, or what?
I haven't changed my mind, Dan, from several years ago. We need to repeal and replace it. Now, I know we got our heads handed to us over what we tried to do a couple of years ago. That probably was one of the biggest things that cost us our majority here in the House. But I think Obamacare is so messed up, I don't think you can fix it. But I do think we've got to come up with something different. I don't think we can just repeal it. I think that would be even worse. So let's go find a way for us to put something together that makes sense and something that's going to restore the control of health care to the health care consumers, and not put it in the hands of a bunch of Washington bureaucrats, which is what Obamacare did.
Do you think that's possible to try to put cobble together something?
Well, I tell you, after the experience we had a couple of years ago, you know, I got myself pretty involved in it, and Gary Palmer from Birmingham did too, in a positive way. I don't think it's going to work if we don't try to get something that's bipartisan. I think if you go totally partisan on this, it blows up in your face. So we've got to find some Democrats who are willing to really sit down and talk about it and work through it and see if we can't come up with a bipartisan approach. And if we can, then I think there's a way for us to put together something that would make sense for everybody. Remember, Obamacare was only trying to fix a problem for about 10% of the people in America. So we altered, for the worse, the health care situation for everybody else to try to fix the problems of the 10%. Well, let's not get to a situation where we're affecting anybody else and that rest of the population. Let's focus on that 10% and see if we can do a better job with it, and one that costs a lot less money.
In our closing minutes here, give me a vision of what you think the House and the Senate would look like back under Republican control of the House. Tell me what would be different than it was last time, and tell me what do you think that they would be working on?
Well, I think if we take the House back, that the House will go back to try to come up with some sort of a health care solution, because we're all hearing it. The cost of health care has gotten way far away from everybody, and our constituents want us to do something about it. I think that there will be some hard work on not just the border, but on immigration policy in general. I think you will see us do far more on the security front than we're doing right now. And I think we'll try to work with the president on some sort of an infrastructure deal. But what I also hope we will do, I hope that we will start addressing the deficit this country is running, which is the reason I voted against the spending bills. Now, I can see a Republican House getting all that done, but if we don't change the rules over in the Senate, then we're still going to have 60 votes to get something done. I don't see us having 60 Republican votes. So we've got to change that rule in the Senate in order to get common sense legislation through.
So you think they should do away with the cloture vote and just have straight up filibuster?
Yeah, I just, you know, when I was in the state Senate, Dan, when we had a filibuster, you had to stand on your feet and talk.
Right.
And they don't do that. They don't do that in the United States Senate anymore.
Right.
You just give them a piece of paper. They also have a rule that you can't even bring up the bill until you have 60 votes. Well, then we should get rid of that. So let them bring up whatever bill they want. Let them pass it on a majority vote. And if you want to do a filibuster, then, you know, get your body in the chamber and talk. I think that'll stop a lot of this, by the way. But if they have to actually get up on their feet and actually talk and talk on stuff that's germane, I think that would put an end to it. So I've been very clear that that's the sort of rule change that I would like to vote for as a United States Senator.
You know, I was looking at the unemployment numbers in Alabama, and they're absolutely amazing, particularly when you're at the two ends of the state, down in your area and up in Huntsville. It is absolutely phenomenal what's going on out there. Do you think that this is a sustainable direction for us?
I do. Now, remember how we got here. The Tax Reform Act, the deregulation that continues to run in the Trump administration. We basically took things that were holding back the American economy off of it, and it surged forward. Now we get these trade deals, not just the Mexican-Canada deal, but we've got a deal with Japan. We've had one previous to South Korea. I think we'll reach one with the Johnson government in Great Britain very quickly here in the new year. And, of course, we got this phase one with China. You get these trade issues resolved, and I think that guarantees the economy continues to go forward, and Alabama's economy particularly go forward, which was the conversation Ambassador Lighthizer and I were having the other evening. So I think we're in a great spot if we just won't screw it up. Now, God knows the Democrats are just bad and determined to screw it up because they want to do anything to hurt the president. So if we can just keep them from screwing everything up and let the president be the president, continue to do these trade deals, I think the American economy can continue to go at this pace for a long time.
Well, in the trade deal, particularly with China, for Port of Mobile is just amazing. I mean, there are going to be more chickens in boats going out of Mobile than we could ever imagine.
Well, I just am thrilled with the idea that we've got this new deal with Mexico and Canada, because we've got stuff that comes into the Port of Mobile and then goes by rail up to Canada. So we get helped both ways. But the idea that one of the fastest growing ports in the country will be able to be both a good export port and a good import port, just, I think, guarantees that the port down there in Mobile will continue to be the fastest growing port in the country.
Where are they on the dredging of the Port of Mobile?
The Corps of Engineers has either just finished or is about to finish their study that they have to do before you do it. The money for it is in the spending bill that we just passed. That's something Senator Shelby put in there.
Right.
So we should be very close to there being able to start on it. Now, it takes a while to do this. It's not something you just go out there and dig a few months and you're done. It'll take a while for it to get done. But it's, my prediction is that sometime between now and 2023, we'll have it all the way completed. And about that time, they'll complete the other modernization things they're doing there at the port, and that'll be only a further enhancer of what that port's doing down there.
Bradley, I really appreciate you calling in today. I want you to have a merry, merry Christmas. Tell your bride I said hello.
Well, I told her I was going to be on the show. She said, you tell Dan Merry Christmas and I love him.
Ah, I like that. Bradley, take care. Merry Christmas for you and Rebecca.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Dan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bradley Byrne, candidate for U.S. Senate, Congressman from 1st District, Mobile area. Going to be back right after this.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
This is C.C. Cole with Cole Plumbing. All of us at Cole Plumbing want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas with a very special thanks to those who have used our services in the past year. Forget the political ills of the country. Remember the one born in Bethlehem on Christmas. Trust in him, and we will have a better future. After Christmas, the new year is not far behind, so when plumbing problems arise, and they will, we can help you. Please give us a call at 279-8919, 279-8919. Many of our customers think we provide the best service, so we let them be the judge. Those that haven't used our service, we would love to have you give us a try. Again, from Cole Plumbing, we hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas and a prosperous new year. And don't forget the reason for the season.
Barry Moore, a true conservative with a proven conservative record. Barry Moore was voted by Yellowhammer News as Alabama's most conservative legislator in 2013. Barry Moore, a veteran who has served his country and has been honored for his support of veterans while serving in the Alabama legislature. Barry Moore, the first elected official in America to endorse candidate Donald Trump for president in 2015. Barry Moore for Congress, a proven conservative, a proven Trump Republican.
I'm Barry Moore, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Barry Moore for Congress, Enterprise, Alabama.
Hey guys, hunting season is upon us. And here at Wholesale Hunter, we know between kids at school and honeydews, your schedule is pretty packed. So why waste your time driving to one of those big box stores when you can visit us online at wholesalehunter.com and order the gear and supplies you need with a click of a button. You can shop our huge selection of guns and hunting gear from the convenience of your computer or phone. Stop by our store in Wetumpka at the corner of Highway 14 and Fire Tower Road, or visit us online anytime at wholesalehunter.com, wholesalehunter.com, that's wholesalehunter.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery-grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's when we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
Think Local is a state of mind at Guardian Credit Union. It's about community and what you do with it. Think starting a new car or starting a family. Think new home or update the one you love. Think walking down the aisle and happily ever after. These milestones make life worth living, and we have what it takes to help you along the way. Think Local. Think Guardian.
Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS 912756.
Hey, y'all, Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar down here on this beautiful ever-flowing Alabama River. Invite you to come down and join us this week for some good seafood from the Gulf and good old ribeye steak off the grill and good hamburgers, all kind of good eating. But let me tell you, we have a schedule change this week. We'll be closed Friday all day and night. We have two parties of people who rented the restaurant this year, so we'll be here Wednesday and Thursday all day and night, and then Saturday and Sunday. Sunday we'll close early, about dark or so, and have a little Christmas party for our employees. So just give you a heads up about what's going on down here. You can check out CapitalOysterBar.com, and you'll see a menu of upcoming music. We're going to have a lot of fun in January, especially the 12th and the 19th. Check it out, CapitalOysterBar.com, and you can see what's going on. So let me invite you down here soon. Come hungry. And from my staff and all of us, we just want to tell you, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Frank Bertarelli with Bert's Tackle Box, located in Wetumpka, Alabama. We'd like to take this time to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their help in getting the name out of Bert's Tackle Box to the community. Thanks again, Blue Water Broadcasting, for all your great support and friendship.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Pam Puso. Impeachment post-mortem.
Seems like people have a spring in their steps because the president was held accountable for his reckless behavior.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, an impeachment trial could be held up if the speaker doesn't send the Senate the articles of impeachment.
By refusing to send impeachment over, she knows this outcome is not good. She knows the facts are not there.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Five suspects are being sought after a shooting at a shopping mall in San Antonio. Four people were injured, one critically.
Those hurt range in age from 17 to 41, and police have not confirmed if the victims knew each other. It started just before 9 o'clock local time at the South Park Mall, according to San Antonio police officials.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, a motive for last night's shooting not determined. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Some nice weather for a couple of days before rain returns this weekend. Today, sunshine but cool, high 54. Clear, another freeze tonight, overnight low 31. Tomorrow, a little warmer, still dry, upper 50s. Then periods of rain at times. Saturday night, and Sunday, high temperatures in the 50s over the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Hi, this is Blue Water Chief Meteorologist Rich Thomas, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Dan Morris Show.
So the party was pretty good last night. Did you take them out of the email?
Yeah, and put them in there. I don't know where that file went away. Uh-oh.
Do it again.
Yeah.
That was interesting, a couple of points that he made. One of the tension among Democrats and Republicans there, they need to get home. I tell you, the chatter on, because a caller called in and said that, I looked it up and I found where the person had said that was going to happen. And then the chatter last night when I got home, it's pretty serious that she's kind of doing this as a kind of a blind block, that she's trying to make it seem like one thing, but she didn't really want to go to the Senate now because they're going to tear it. I mean, they're going to be in charge. It's like, screw you, Nancy. It doesn't matter what you do. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the right way. And that's not going to be good for the Dems at all.
No. And it's amazing. I was mentioning the guy that's advising them on holding this back is a guy named Lawrence Tribe from Harvard. He wrote a book not too long ago to end a presidency, The Power of Impeachment. And his Joshua Matz is his co-author in that book. And I watched when all this got going a few months ago. I actually watched at the Constitution Center or whatever Joshua Matz talk about this. He said the standard for us, really, that we go through all sorts of things in the book, but impeachment shouldn't be more divisive and should restore faith in institutions. And if it's more divisive, it actually creates more distrust than the action you're trying to correct. You probably shouldn't do impeachment. Well, that standard went out the window completely now that Larry Tribe is helping them come up with all sorts of new ways to, you know, present this. It's unreal, honestly.
It really is. In watching them, when we get to the clips, the Democrats, when they voted on impeachment the first time they got the count, they were about to applaud, and then Nancy kind of goes, shh, shh.
Yeah, I saw that.
She had to do that twice. The first time was pretty serious out there.
Well, if they should have just sang a song, that's like praying twice.
Yeah. Well, and then when she said in her press conference today that she celebrates all religions at her house, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
What, she learned that growing up Catholic?
somebody should have said, well, what do you do for Hanukkah? And just ask her that. And do you get your weasel out? I mean, come on. I mean, it's like...
Dreidel.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... She is such a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, just a liar. And we have some stuff we need to bring over from yesterday, but I will get to that later. Let's do this. Let's start out with Lindsey Graham from today. Well, yeah, let's go Lindsey Graham here. Talking about on Schumer in the Senate process here. No, I'm sorry. Lindsey Graham on, did I number this right? Can you say, Schumer in the Senate process, sorry.
No, this is Mike Lee, actually.
Okay, now let's do Lindsey Graham then.
There's only two and three. My goodness. Okay.
Well, let me see where it is. Okay, let's do Mike Lee then.
All right.
GOP Senate chairman tonight are requesting interviews and documents from former Obama administration officials for information relating to the Ukrainian gas company Burisma and Hunter Biden. Let's bring in now Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, legal scholar, soon to be a Senate juror. Okay, you decided, though you're not a voting member, obviously, of the House, to go over and be a part of this, or at least be in the chamber tonight. Why and what was the mood?
I had to see it. I wanted to find out exactly what it was going to feel like that moment when they decided to take this crazy move to impeach the president based on conduct that wasn't impeachable, that wasn't criminal, that wasn't even wrong.
Okay, so now it heads to you in the Senate. We don't know when, because tonight the speaker is now saying, well, she took questions about what are you waiting for? Want to make sure that there's a fair trial in the Senate. Here's what Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has to say about the proceedings.
Mr. President, we're offering you due process. Due process means the right to be heard.
What a...
Please take it.
Full of it.
Don't ask for it and then refuse to take advantage of it.
Okay, so he says, listen, Mr. President, we're now offering you due process. We know the witnesses that he wants. We know there's a debate about whether Republicans should call other witnesses or not. So what happens now?
It's curious. First of all, the fact that he's first calling for due process at a moment when he thinks it will benefit the prosecution. When we talk about due process rights in the context of somebody being accused of something, normally we're referring to the person being accused, not to the government. He's now worried about the government's right, about the prosecution from the House of Representatives being fairly treated. It's really strange that he's bringing this up now.
I tell you something that really, and Billy, hang on for me, something I really noticed. If you think about who these people are there in this leadership, you have Schumer and Nadler, New York, you have Schiff, you have Pelosi, you have Swalwell, California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Everybody's like, we're loaded with liberals that are in these leadership positions. I think they're so out of touch, it's unbelievable. They just do not, they have no clue what the public is thinking about. Let's go to the phone, so let's go to Billy. Billy, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Dan, I hope you're doing well today.
I am doing great. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. You know, I've listened to your show a lot. And you do a phenomenal job. And
thank you.
Really, there's people like you, people like your co-host sitting beside you, people that actually give us the truth and tell us the real story. But I'm sitting here right now. I would never in my life believe that I would witness what I'm witnessing right now happening to our president. But it leads me to believe now that I can truly write an epitaph for this country and pretty much carve out a tombstone and put the ending date that this country will cease to exist. And I'm willing to go forth and tell you the year 2030, this country will no longer exist. The Democrats will destroy it.
That'd be if the Democrats have control of it.
This country would be destroyed. You look at what's going on right now. How things are written now could allow a group of people, a side of the political agenda, to conduct a witch hunt and do what they are trying to do to our president. And they're not doing anything that they were elected to represent their constituents and do. They're not one thing have those people in Congress done anything to help their districts or anything. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. For the past 3 years, it's just been nothing but destroy President Donald Trump. That's all that we've heard. And I don't know how this is going to turn out. I hope things work out great for our president, and I'm pretty sure they will. But if I was Donald Trump right now, I would bring hell. And anything I know on these crooks, crooked Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, all these idiots, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, his jacked up family, I would destroy everybody that gets in my path. Everybody. I would rain hell down on Washington, D.C.
Wow. Kind of a scorched earth policy, huh?
Exactly right. And to be quite honest with you, my friend, if I had a B-52 bomber right now and I had a nuclear bomb on it, I would drop it right on Washington, D.C. Right as Air Force One clears for takeoff and gets the hell out of there. I would torch that whole place.
Wow. Okay.
And to be quite honest with you, I think there'd be a lot of people riding on that plane with me that would help me mash the button.
Okay. Well, Billy, I appreciate your telephone call. I want you to have a merry, merry Christmas.
Thank you, brother.
Take care. Doomsday, I like that. Country boy, hang on, going to a break. Coming back to you right after this.
Your news talk place to be, The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell, afternoons 3 to 6, on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
On your TV, a dance show. Your wife is blissing out, but you, not so much. How are you going to get through this? You look down. The answer is in your hand. Your phone, sports, box scores, highlights, everything you love in one perfect bundle from WOW. Super fast internet, tons of TV channels, all for just $74.99 per month. Go to wowway.com and get yours today.
Wow.
Offer for new customers invalid for 12 months with a 2-year agreement. Auto pay and paperless billing, equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Hey, folks. Jeff Sessions here. There's a battle raging right now, a battle for the soul and future of America. It's a time of great opportunity and great peril. With President Trump, we have a historic opportunity to finally end the lawlessness at our border and to stop China from stealing our technology and our jobs. But we also face great peril. Washington Democrats are seeking to fundamentally change America, change our ideals, divide us from each other. They embrace socialism and chaos at our borders. And many Republicans are just too timid. They're not fully committed to fighting for the president's agenda. It's time to stand up and fight for what's right. And you all know me. I won't go wobbly on you. I'll always stand for Alabama values in Washington. I'm Jeff Sessions, candidate for the Senate. I approve this ad.
Paid for by Friends of Sessions Senate Committee, Inc.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feel so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. Hey, reminder, Sweet Creek Farm Market's got $25 Boston Butts, so you can have something for this weekend and or Christmas time period. They close Tuesday at 2 o'clock, but you need to call 280-FARM to get your order in. You can go pick it up tomorrow, I believe, but they'll be open today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, closing Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Also, any unusual gifts that you've got, you want to get popcorn tins, you want to get pecan tins, you want to get unusual gifts for people, Sweet Creek Farm Market is where you need to go. Go by and see them. Let me go to the phones and go to Country Boy. Hey, Country Boy.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Just looking at the political atmosphere across the country.
Yeah.
If we want to get a good hindsight into it, just look at the state of Virginia, how those people are revolting against it. New Democrats just take no one ruling now. I wouldn't want to be a Democrat in the state of Virginia in the next election.
Why in the state of Virginia?
The gun control.
Oh.
You hadn't caught up on that?
Well, I mean, the problem is the Republicans are not doing a very good job in the state of Virginia. They got their butts handed to them.
Well, I know that, but the people are beginning to rouse up.
Well,
county by county, they're beginning to fight back.
Well, they got to elect people.
I know they have, and they probably will this next time. But they just got placed and let the Democrats sneak up on them. But after they see what they're trying to do to them, they haven't town hall meetings ever up there. They're beginning to fight back. And they'll have somebody in there this time that they'll vote for.
Good.
They'll get out and vote this time.
I hope so. Well, the problem actually was that they didn't have people that ran. They had a whole bunch of positions that were not filled, and they didn't challenge the Democrats. And Democrats, they only won by 2 seats that took over the majority, but it was because they didn't have people running.
Well, they'll get out and get somebody to run them because they don't want the guns taken away from them.
Okay.
And the Second Amendment, they're trying to run over up there. Well, they ain't even tell how many them were up there now, county by county. So I'll keep a close watch on that and see what happens.
Okay, I will.
All right, put me in for Sweet Creek.
Give me a month and day of birth.
9/3.
You got it.
All right.
Let's go to Bud. Bud, where are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, my friend. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. And where are you?
Well, I'm on my way to Baton Rouge right now.
Baton Rouge?
Yes, indeed. I was talking to Joey this morning and supposed to go tomorrow down into South Florida, close to Miami, but a little bit of change, which I'm happy. I'll be going to Birmingham so I can spend some time with my lovely wife for 35 years and my two basses. I actually think my basses might love me more than my wife. I'm not denigrating my wife. I'm just saying these dogs, like I was there yesterday, they're like another layer of skin.
There you go.
If people would only love, well, let me say this. If I was only half the man my dogs thought I was, my God, what a good man I'd be. That's all I can say. Couple of things. When I was waiting, I heard Barry just now talking. And let me say this. As a man, last year, and of course, you know my situation, but I'm just going to put it out there for Barry and the other listeners to hear. Much of last year, I was arrested by the U.S. Marshals, not for anything I said or did, but because of the false allegation of a person. And I was no-billed by the grand jury, which means the grand jury did not even indict me. They looked at what the prosecution said, this is the evidence, and they laughed and threw it out. So why are we even here? And I want Barry and your listeners to understand. Now, I have a family member that works at the NSA. Barry's words were just now recorded for prosperity. And if somebody was to go in there and say, oh, Barry just said this against politician A, and they examined what he just said 5 minutes ago, Barry would be in a world of hurt, as well as anybody else was. So I just caution all your listeners. Listen, I know right now political hotheads, we're all emotional, but be careful what you say.
Amen.
We are in difficult times right now. I don't think we're any more divided than what it was before the first shot on Fort Sumter. I'm not saying we'd get to that extent, everything, but I'm saying the animosity, the lack of communication, the untrusting of those on the other political side. It's a difficult time for everybody. And so I just went off on a soapbox. That was not what I was going to call about, but I was just responding to what Barry was saying.
Okay.
Here's my question, though, what I wanted to say.
Sure.
You know, Trump has a crap load of money, and obviously he's going to get the nomination, and the Republican National Committee they have so much money. I think they said for the month of November they raised over $25 million. I mean, it's an all-time record. People are supporting him, so it's not like he has to pony up the money out of his own wallet. You know, in the PAC restrictions and stuff like that, what would prevent Trump from saying, okay, we have 31 districts that are held by Democrats that I'm now going to personally pony up the money and go after these individuals? What would keep him from putting $5, $8, $10 million into the House races of all those 31 folks?
He has some limitations. He has with his biggest value is taking the Trump operation and helping those people out, and that's what he's going to do. Also doing personal visits in those areas, which he did not do in 2018, which he is going to do in 2020.
Well, I know there's like a $2,500 maximum that a person can donate to a specific individual, but I did not know if there was a limitation on if somebody wanted to not donate against that person's competition, but they